This was assisted in a variety of ways, trade in these goods. One was the improvements in shipbuilding, which is pretty obvious. The 7th and 8th centuries saw a shift in building of ships in the Mediterranean world from what is known as a shell system of construction. This was used by the Romans, where you essentially make a very fine piece of furniture. You fit the wood very carefully together. It's all you don't even have to caulk it. It's so well done. The advantages of it is that the ship lasts for 100 years or more. It's extremely labor intensive. You need an enormous amount of metal to construct it. Or the shift went from that form of construction to what is often called the skeleton construction, which is a type of construction pioneered in northern Europe. It's perhaps associated with the Celtic peoples of the British Isles, most famously, and that is essentially putting down the ribs of your ship, the keel and ribs, and then slapping the rest of it on there as boards and caulking it. This is far less expensive and labor intensive, and this shift from a shell to a skeleton construction was achieved in the 7th and 8th century and allowed for some very important innovations in technology. There were improved sails and improved oars. We find by the early 8th and 9th centuries, especially Scandinavians making important breakthroughs in keels and frames of ships and producing two important vessels, the so-called longships, which sustained the Viking raids, the warship, and the Knarr, the great cargo ship of northern Europe that could withstand the storms of the North Atlantic and became a primary ship of the North Atlantic for early medieval commerce. So what is even more important to stress in European technology is that the shipbuilding techniques in northern Europe were readily transmitted to the Mediterranean shores of Latin Christendom, the ports of Italy, the ports of southern France and Spain. And so there was a constant exchange of shipbuilding techniques in the 150 years before the Crusades that produced the impressive galleys of and the cargo vessels that transported the Crusaders to the Levant. These changes in shipbuilding was also accompanied by the revival and use of coined money, something that had largely fallen out of use in daily markets, weekly markets, monthly markets. Coinage, even in the 9th century, was essentially a single silver denomination, the so-called denier of Charlemagne. We would call it a penny in English, a pfennig in German, denaro in Italian. It's all the same denomination. It might weigh anywhere from, I don't know, 1.5 grams to 2.25 grams. And it was the only denomination issued, used primarily for judicial fines, for settling up rents. And these coins actually became debased, that is, they kept mixing more copper in them, in the period after Charlemagne's death. They're often referred to in the rents as the black money because very little silver was left. Well, there were important surges in minting of silver, and this was connected with improved mining techniques in the 9th century at Mel, in the 10th century at Goslar in Germany. There were surges in coinage of more silver money. In Italy, where the use of money had never really disappeared, town life had certainly remained in the Byzantine areas, you had monetized markets. And by the year 1000, this type of monetized markets had come to characterize not only the Italian cities, but a line of trade routes running up across the Alps and down the Rhine to the North Sea. And this becomes one primary axis. The other is to go up the Rhone, the Saone, and the rivers of France to the Channel to southern England. And along these axes of trade routes, the flow of goods, the flow of money increased with improved shipbuilding. So in 1095, the trade routes of Western Europe now linked these areas, which certainly at the time of the beginning of the Abbasid Caliphate must have looked about as remote as could be, to the wider, quote-unquote, civilized world of the Caliphate and Byzantium. The Italian cities were particularly important in these links. These would include the cities of Genoa and Venice, the South Italian ports such as Amalfi, which were important entrepôts between Western and Central and Northern Europe and points east. The variety and numbers of goods increased as well. And by 1095, Europeans had become quite accustomed to importing finer silks, weapons, utensils, relics, ivories, a whole variety of goods produced in the Byzantine world and the Islamic world.